minds a little bit right there in the 23rd chapter. It's very simple. Everybody knows it, but it has been a blessing where points out that he restored my soul. The Lord restoring our souls. And in the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalms said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I expounded on that section, I shall not want, before I went away. I shall not want. Personal. You think of something that you think you need in your life. But when you let Jesus become your shepherd, all right? We have lacks in our life because he's not first. Because we don't put him and receive him as our shepherd. That's why we have lacks. Say, I need this and I'm poor and I don't have. Well, when you have Jesus in your life, Jesus Christ in your life, you have everything. The scripture says, in him are hid. I think it's in Colossians, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What chapter is that? It sounds like it's in Colossians, the first or the second chapter, where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is verse what? What chapter? Chapter 1, verse what? 10. In Colossians? Chapter 1. What does it say in verse 10? No, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Is that in chapter 2? Chapter 2, verse 3. Look at there, and let's get that. Let's read that. That's in Jesus Christ. Agree? What are hidden in Jesus Christ? All of God. Do you understand? God is in Christ. Jesus Christ is the dwelling place of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God dwells in Jesus Christ. And he says, in him are hid all the... I like this scripture, don't you? Yes. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you want wisdom?
Yes.
Colossians, that's more than money. Wisdom is better than rubies, diamonds, and gold. But you don't hear a lot of that today. You hear money. But money is just a temporary thing. And it doesn't really bring you real happiness. You say that it does. You buy that nice car. And you're happy for a few days. But it's not lasting. You buy that new suit or that new dress. Like I said, you go on that beautiful vacation. And you said, oh, I'm so happy. But you're going to come down, right? When you're checking out. You know, you arrive and you feel so. And by the time you're checking out, all of that glow and that beauty, the first day, you know, everything is nice and my. But after a while, you don't even want to walk to the pool. See, all of that glory and all that beauty. But when you have a revelation of Jesus Christ, when something get a hold of your life in your heart, when Christ comes in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, that's in Christ. And just go to your left there to the next chapter. And it says, let me read verse 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering, Paul? It's chapter 1, 24. For you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. To fulfill the word of God. That's why we're here. Now, verse 26 says, even the mystery which had been hid. Something hidden, right? When God hides something, you cannot find it until God reveals it. But here's a mystery that was hid from ages and from generation. That means generation comes and go and never saw that mystery. But now you're seeing it. Paul said, I'm going to show you something that generations and the past ages has never seen. So how blessed are you? If you're going to see things that, and you're seeing things that others did not, many wise men would like to have seen, but they have not seen it. So he said, even the mystery, what is it? Look at it. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but look at that word. It's a powerful little word, isn't it? It changed everything around. But now, right now, something that was hidden from generation and from ages, you're having a chance to hear. And what was that? Don't you want to know? Wouldn't you like to know a secret? Everybody loves a secret, right? Okay, so here's a secret. A mystery is a secret. He said, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now, right now, is made manifest to his saints. So, you have to be a saint to really understand or want to be a saint. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to say, I want to serve the Lord because I want to hear the secret. I want to know. I want to serve God. I want to go to church. I want to be faithful. Because, and there's something about this secret that is not just for one time. It's a continuous revelation. So, you say, but I'm in church today. I want to hear everything. No, you cannot hear everything about God. It's a continuous revelation of a secret. And once God begins to reveal this secret to you, you don't want to hear anything else. You really don't want to hear what men has to say, what people have to say. Because you're not moved by the turmoils and the happenings of every day. Because the Lord is your shepherd. And you shall not want. Imagine now, he's a shepherd, you shall not want, and he make you to lay down in luxury. Good pleasures. His riches, the riches and honor of his glory. See, when I arrived at the hotel I was staying, it's beautiful. And beautiful, I asked him for the best room available. I felt that I deserved it. And when they gave me, it was very nice, the views and everything like that. But after a while, there was no pleasure. There was no pleasure in it. It was a bed. Chairs, and you could get a cold drink. But by the next day, all of that nice newness is gone. But I've been reading this Bible a long time. And the more you read the Word of God, is the more you get pleasures. The more that you read the Word of God is the more that you want to read the Word of God. The more you understand is the more you want to understand. This God never runs out of satisfaction for his people. And here, It says, verse 2 Colossians 2, Colossians 2, verse 26, yes. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, in whom God, hallelujah, in whom God would make known what is the riches. Listen, this is awesome. Everybody like riches. And they played a lotto for it. One was a lady was a big winner the other day, the news said. But I'm telling you something that's more better. And this is not a gamble. This is not a chance. This is for real. He says here that in whom, to whom God would make known. For God to make known, that means he's your teacher. They shall all be taught of God. That means God is teaching you to make known, to reveal it unto you, a mystery that's only God through Jesus Christ can reveal to you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's the mystery? What is the mystery? Come on, what is the mystery? Which is Christ. The mystery is Christ in you. Oh, you ought to be shouting. The mystery that was hid from ages and generation is now revealed to me, that God can dwell in me through Christ. That Christ in you. Think of it now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why not? Because of the riches. Everything you've got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like shouting right here. Because it says that Christ, the anointed, the Son of God. Now, when you mention of Christ, it's going to take me forever. Christ in you. What does that mean? Because you've got to understand that in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So what have you got when Christ is in you? The mystery. What has God given you when he says that he's my shepherd, I shall not want? Because God has placed Christ in us. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know what glory is? I mean that everlasting, forever dwelling with God the Father, who is the Father of glory? Amen. Endless, eternal life. I can't even describe it. Christ in you, the hope, and hope make it not a shame, because he shed the love of God abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Christ in you. Can you imagine God sending his own Son, the only begotten Son, to dwell in you? Come on. Christ in you and you in Christ. That's the hope of glory. I mean, what else could God give you today that would make you so happy or more happier? All the money in the world? The treasures of the world are to give you his Son. To give you Emmanuel. To give you God with us. Are you understanding now? The creator of all. This holy, righteous, wonderful God. Giving his only begotten son to not only be with us, but to be in us. And he said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. Perfect. In Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. See, Paul, there was something that was going on in Paul. He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago or 15 years ago, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, whether in the body, out of, this man was caught up to the third heavens. Heard things that he couldn't. Now, here's some of the things that he's telling us that he heard. The mystery. He's telling us. And he's telling us now that not only did Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and went away, but he came back. He's back. Yes, he's back. And I know, yes, he's going to come publicly, but for you and I, the coming is already. He's back. How do I know that? Because he's in you, he's in me. Christ is in you. So you don't have to wait for him to come down the road. He's already inside. And he's your hope of glory. Because you're going to dwell and live with the God of glory. God is the Father of glory. And where are we heading? Where are you heading? To glory. And the scripture speaks about with open face. I like that. Beholding as in a glass the glory of God, we are changed into the same image. That means like he is. As he is, so are we. In this world. Holiness. And before I go a little further, but go to Holy Finger and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse, I think it's verse 5. But go, let me read from verse 1. You find it? Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, notice, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us. How much more blessing do you want? It's all there. Does all means all? I mean, you English teachers that knows more than me, that, you know, my little talk. But come on, with all, does all means all? How do you explain that all? And what does he bless us with? So when you're up there lifting up your hand and begging him, Lord, will you please give me $100? I'm sending this $100 to a preacher so I can get $1,000. You don't even know what the Bible says. You've already been blessed with everything. There's nothing that preacher can give you that God has not already given you. There's no promises that preacher can give you or make to you. Here's what he does. Who had blessed us. Can you believe the word of God? Can you take the word of it? Who had blessed us with all. Put some emphasis in that. With all. What? spiritual blessings. Oh, so for him to bless you in heavenly places, you must be there. You must be in heavenly places. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, you say, but I've got to go to heaven to be... No, right here. Do you know that this is a heavenly place right here? Right here, you're seated in heavenly places. This church right now, and every church on the face of the earth that's preaching the word of God, where Christ is honored, is a heavenly place. He raised you up and make you sit. Are you sitting right now? Are you hearing the good news? Are you hearing what God has provided for them that love it? Are you hearing something that ages and generation gone by never heard? Are you hearing about a man called Jesus? A virgin child that was born as the Son of God without father. Have you heard about him? The Holy One of God. The Son of David. The seed of Abraham. He, the Word, became flesh. That's the Word of God. See, you've got the Word of God. That's what became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwell among us. Hallelujah. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I mean, when you think about the Word which God spoke, became a man to save us. God is wonderful. God loves you. God loves you. You know, we had a little discussion on my trip. Because, people need to know the Word of God. Nobody equals God. Who will you liken God onto? I mean, God doesn't need your help, or he doesn't need our opinions. When he made the heavens and the earth, who did he consult with? Who was his counselor? When God, do you know what happened? When God made man from the dust of the earth, and then he took the woman out, the man was asleep.
That's right.
He was asleep. But he said, but he borrowed something from Adam. No, he gave Adam something and he took it back. And extended it. I mean, this awesome God that all his works are finished. All his works are finished from before the foundation of the world. I mean, God's not doing anything new. You and I, we're just coming into what God has ordained for us. I mean, you came in here and you were in this world a little baby, right? But that same little baby become a man or a woman. But God was here before you. And your arrival didn't change anything. You didn't help God. But you just grew up into what God wants you for. You get that? He's God. And he doesn't need any help to be God. He saved you, and he doesn't need any help to save you. Who did he counsel with when Jesus Christ as a lamb was slain from the foundation of the world? Who gave him counsel? Who is the author of salvation? Who authored salvation? Who is the author and the finisher of our faith? Who wrote the book of salvation? Did you help him? No. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps, but the steps of a righteous man. is ordered by the Lord. Now, how does he order your step? He order your step to walk in righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. If you understand that God did not see anything inside of us that make him love us. Nothing at all. He loved us because of his own goodwill, his own good pleasure. There's nothing in you. Nothing, absolutely no good in us. It was the good pleasure of God and his mercies that he looked down and loved us. Hallelujah. God saved us not because there's something nice and wonderful in us. Oh, good boy. You deserve salvation. Oh, you're such a good girl. No. All of us have sinned. And come short of the glory of God. But God, in his mercy, laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. The mystery. Here's the mystery. For you to get into Christ. Christ in you. Or Christ, are you in Christ, the hope of glory, right? But we were laden with sin. Christ in us. But we were laden with sin. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But God came to us, not when we were good. But he came to us when we were dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. And when did God quicken you?
When you were dead.
Dead in trespasses and sin. And he said, Ephesians 2, you at the quicken who were dead in trespasses and sin. Amazing, isn't it? That means God loved us even when we were yet sinners. We deserve... the wrath of God. I was going to say hell, but I'm being nice, so I won't say that word. I won't say hell. But that's what we deserved. Right? We deserve that little four-letter word called... You know what I'm talking about. The opposite of heaven. All of sin. And come short of the glory of God. But this is what God did. He laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. He took your sins, your righteousness, and he gave it to Christ. In other words, he blamed Jesus when we should have had the blame. And therefore Christ had to go to the cross. And when he died, we died with him. But when he rose again, we rose with Jesus. Hallelujah. And he made us to sit together. My Lord. Because Jesus prayed, said, Father, I will that where I am, they will be with me. And he made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse. According. Don't you like this word? According. According. All right. He made us to sit with him in heavenly places, right? In Christ Jesus. According. Not, you just get there and, that. No. But in the same position with him. Sharing. As heirs and joint heirs and heirs together of the glory. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. According as he, God, not you. You have not chosen me. But according as he had chosen us. Can anybody tell me how he chose us? According to how he chose us? How? How did he chose you? With all the riches of his glory. He gave everything. According as he had chosen us. In him.
the mystery. Christ in you. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy. Look at what we're chosen for. Here is the purpose of God for you. Not just give you a little house. A little mansion, some wings. Is that all you want? Streets of gold and honey in the rocks. Is that milk, you know, milk river. You go by the river of milk and sit down. Is that all you want from God? Huh? But here's a position that's open for you right now while you are chosen. Don't let nobody take your crown. You were chosen for a job that will last forever. You were chosen for a job that you cannot be fired. You cannot quit. And it's a position that will never come to an end. No. No. There's no such thing as unemployment line. Retirement, no. Because he's your shepherd. And because he's your shepherd, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a hope and position for you to dwell in the house of God forever. And it says, according as he had chosen us in Christ before, when was the foundation of the world? 2,000 years ago, right? That's when he found the world, right? Oh. So if it's not 2,000 years ago, it must be 6. And if it's not 6, it must be 1,000,000. Anybody knows? It didn't say the foundation of the world, but it said before there was any foundation. So before there was any earth, world, and we were chosen. So where were you? Answer that question. Where were you? If he chose you before... I mean, no, don't make God a lie because he's not a man that he should lie. If God says before, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. But notice what he did. When I just got saved 20 years ago and I start clapping my hands, and I'm trying to be holy and I'm standing before God blameless in love. Is that what it says? No. But before the foundation of the world, God had a purpose. And he made a choice and he chose you. For a position that you didn't apply for. He gave you a job that you didn't apply for. You know why you're here? To fulfill that purpose. You say, but oh, I'm not going to. Yes, you will. Oh, yeah, he said, I'll run like Jonah ran, didn't he? But Jonah couldn't hide. Here, this is something to shout about because that we should be holy. You mean with all the mistakes I've made? That's why you're here. He's still working on you. And without blame. You... I mean, come on. If you tell somebody that, you know, they laugh because they, you mean that brother and that sister? I know so much about them. But God chose you despite they know something about you. You know God heard all the gossips? He did. But he chose you over all those gossips. Over all the faults and the mistakes you've made. The wrongs you've done. God chose you. And forgave you. And he's and making you holy and without blame so you can stand before God in love forever. So, don't let nobody fool you and talk about all you got to do in heaven is drink milk, fly around. You got a better position than that. How would you like to be standing without blame, holy, in love, before the everlasting Father? Shout. Come on, shout.
And here you are, begging for a few dollars, when he has raised you up and made you sit together. You recognize your position. To sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. Sitting in the presence of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting. I noticed that where you're sitting. I mean, how could you be a beggar when you're sitting in the place where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and you are complete in him, and you're begging for a few dollars? How could you be wearing rags when you have royal robes? How could you be begging when you've got a ring and shoes and a crown? And the Father is waiting to welcome you home. How could you be a beggar when he has the fatted calf slain? How could you stand out when the party is going on? There's music and dancing and shouting and rejoicing. Because the Father is glad to see you home. The church is going to have to get back to the Bible and to begin to preach. Will the real Jesus stand up? We're going to have to begin to do that. Preach the real Jesus. Stand up. Come on back. The shepherd, the Lord, the Savior. Because notice where he's not leading you in poverty, but the psalm says he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. And even though I walk. You're not listening. Through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. That's include demons, devils, your false prophets, the Antichrist, man of sin. I don't care what you want to think about. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely. Surely. You can bet your life on it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not poverty, but goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life. And I. Everybody look at me. I will dwell. Not just visit. Once in a while. And every time that I go to church, we have to introduce you to God. Oh God, really? Oh God, this is Sister So and So. But it's I will dwell. You got to take on a lifestyle where you're standing in holiness and righteousness before God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just imagine now, the way you come to church, if you're in the kingdom, every once in a while you're missing, every once in a while you show up. The same. What a man sow, he reaps that. The lifestyle you live is not, well, but when I get to the kingdom, I'll be in every service. I'll be in church all the time. No. You're just proving to God that you won't stand in his presence all the time. But he's looking for people that he's going to put to stand in his presence who won't get tired. In other words, you're on fire. In other words, this girl is on fire. This man is on fire. This boy is on fire. Like Jeremiah, you've got the fire. Are you listening now? Shut up in your bones. This church is on fire. Ooh, hallelujah. You got to have that fire shut up in your bones, right? Right, church? My soul is on fire. That's what John said. He will baptize you. Are you listening? He will baptize you. That's what you need. You need a dip, a Holy Ghost dip, a fire to shake you up. Hey, come on. Come on. You need a fire. The Laodiceans, they had everything. You know the story? But they didn't have everything. They were lacking. The Laodicean says, church, they said, we're rich and we increase in good goods and have no need of anything. What a statement. Ephesians. But Revelations 3. But when the Lord showed up, he saw another picture. When the candlestick inspector, and he went to the church of Ephesus, Laodicea, verse 3:17 says, because, here's what they said. Because thou sayest, here's what they were saying in their heart, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not, look at that, the way God saw them, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow. I counsel thee, that's in the word. Take the word, the counsel from the Bible now. I counsel thee. You got to come to church to hear the counsel. That you're not as rich and what you're working for, all of what you need is temporary. You're going to lose it. You can't take it with you. But he said, look, listen. Go to church. I want to talk to you. I counsel you. Did he say that? Huh? I counsel you. Every time you come, you're buying. This morning, I came down loaded selling. Listen, I don't want to go back with nothing. I want to sell all the goods I brought here. What did I bring? I brought the mystery. The wisdom, mystery of his grace. Are you ready to buy? I don't hear you. Do you want to buy? And this, you're buying it without money or without price. Here's what he said. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint, hallelujah, thine eyes with hyssop, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten thy rod and staff. They comfort and be zealous therefore, and what? Repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant. Look at this. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saying to the churches. Now, I shall not want. But they were lacking. You know why? Because they were not following the shepherd. They got all the money. Isn't that what the church is doing today? All the riches, all the money. But the shepherd is left out. They don't have. People sit in church just dead. No life. No amens. Because it's not in the big Cadillac. Or the Benz. Those are empty. But it's in Jesus Christ. But look at, in closing, look at another scripture in Revelations. The Philadelphians. Look at the Philadelphians. 3:7. Go back to Revelations 3:7 says, and to the angels, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things said he that is holy and he that is true, he that at the key of David, that's the kingdom. He that openeth it, and no man shut it, and shut it, and no man open it. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Now, that's the door to the kingdom. It's an everlasting door. It's a door that cannot be shut. It's a door where you go in and out and find green pastures. It's called an open door. Christ is that door. I saw, John said, that door was open in heaven. And no man could shut it. Look at that. Nobody can shut it. No one can shut it. Lay up treasures in heaven. Nobody can take that away from you. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jew and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet. That's in the kingdom. You know why they're going to worship before your feet? Because they're going to bow to Jesus and you're going to be standing right there. And to know that I have loved you. Behold, because thou hast kept, why? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Hold on. Patient, the word of my patience. Romans 2, 7. To them who by patience, continuance in well doing, seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now, the hour of temptation, I'll keep thee. And everybody claims it, even if they're not living for God. But they haven't read the condition. It was for the Church of Philadelphia. Yeah. Okay? And he said, I will keep them from the hour of temptation. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Hold on. There's a little mystery right there. You know, God's word is full of mystery. I'll keep them from the hour of temptation. Which shall come upon all the world to try them. Hold on. That dwell upon the earth. They cannot give it up. The earth. Remember? Adam. The first Adam was of the earth, earthly, the natural, carnal stuff. They cannot give up those things for God. So they dwell on the earth, fleshly, mind, carnal. That's where they dwell. Their roots is there. But remember now, I will keep them from the hour of temptation because, you know why? They already raised up and is seated in heavenly places together with Christ Jesus. All right. Keep them from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them which dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. All that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, That's the kingdom. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. My new name. He that had an ear, anybody here can hear?
Yes.
Let him hear. What? Not the pastor. He's only a vessel. But what the Spirit said unto the churches. Did you hear anything today? I shall not want. He will make you a pillar. That's awesome. Now, a pillar is a supporting structure. Can you imagine? Down here you didn't have very much position. But in the kingdom, a lot will be leaned upon you. A pillar means you'll be one of the supporting structure of the kingdom. Jesus. I said, that's awesome.
Yes.
I mean, the pillar means you're going to help to hold up the kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I shall not want. Amen. Give him a praise. Give the Lord a praise, everybody. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting. Praise God.